Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to fulfill his dream of entering Eretz Yisrael, nor was he able to fulfill his mission of ultimately bringing Bnei Yisrael to Geula. Votseisi v'itzalti v'gaalti v'lokachti. But there was a fifth, v'yedeisi eftem el aretz, and Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to fulfill his mission. Immediately afterwards, irrespective of the consequences, Moshe Rabbeinu begins the quest of conquering Eretz Yisrael, of having the Jewish people enter Eretz Yisrael, irrespective of the consequences to his personal life, knowing that entering Eretz Yisrael meant the demise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nonetheless, he proceeded on that effort. And how did he launch this campaign? He reached back to his past. Vayishlach Moshe Malchim, he sends messengers to Edom and explains to them a brief lesson in Jewish history, giving us and the nations of the world a lesson in Jewish history. I think there are three ideas that pertain to what we're trying to do here today that are described in this episode. The first is Moshe Rabbeinu's unwavering commitment towards the Jewish future, recognizing that regardless of the personal consequences, the greater good of the Jewish people and Jewish destiny is essential, and he is willing to sacrifice anything for the good of the Jewish future. The second is an understanding that the Jewish future is inextricably tethered to the Jewish past, not only as a foundation for us, but as a responsibility for us to it. It's not only a building given to us upon which we are able to build, but it's a building which we are responsible to maintain, always tethering us back to our past. And lastly, Moshe Rabbeinu's recognition that it can't be done alone, that the Jewish future is not dependent upon any one individual, even one as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. And it must be tethered with other people, connected, so that as a team effort, we can all secure the Jewish future. These lessons are really what we're here for today. This is a day of education, about securing our Jewish future. We're gathered as parents, grandparents, future parents and future grandparents, educators and laymen, all trying to find a way to secure the Jewish future, to make sure that we educate properly and accordingly. Of Soloveitchik always said, the best way for success is not to regulate, but to educate. And so we have here today over 30 organizations, over 30 speakers from over 30 organizations across the spectrum of Orthodox Jewry, describing ways to help our children, to help ourselves, to help our families. And we have to recognize that we are getting the lessons from the past to secure our future, and it takes a village. We can't necessarily raise our children all on our own. We need help, and our educators need the parental help as well. Such an event obviously takes a lot of volunteerism by a whole bunch of different people, and I'd certainly like to thank them. We want to thank our sponsors. We have gifts outside for all our sponsors and for the committee members, and we have for the speakers as well if you get them. But for our sponsors, the OU, the Fagans, the Gallers, Koren and Sherry Fish, we'd like to thank all of them, our committee members, Sima Shulman, Naomi Kasovitz, Jay Lerman, Sherry Hammer, Doba Isaacs. These are people that have spent a lot of time over the last several months preparing this. We certainly would like to thank Yeshivat HaKotel, who really did a major job and gave a lot of support and material for this effort. And although he will be here, and hopefully someone will thank him later as well, a special thank you to Rav Reuven Tarragon, whose tireless, relentless efforts assured that this day actually came to fruition for the second year in a row. although they are not in the room now because they continue to be working, I have two special presentations for all those. As you pass them outside, you can thank them yourselves. But the first is a plaque for Sherry Hammer. It says, the Five Towns Community Education Conference presents this to Sherry Hammer in appreciation of her chairing the 2014 conference. Working hard on this one too. May the schut of helping others strengthen their homes merit you sing continued nachat from your own. Second, to Doba Isaacs, the Five Towns Community Education Conference presents this to Doba Isaacs in appreciation of her chairing the 2015 conference. May the schut of helping others strengthen their home merit you sing continued nachat from your own. Thank you very much, Doba and Sherry. But before we have our keynote speaker, there's an obvious thank you to opening B'chod Achsanya. The Young Israel of Woodmere has opened their doors for us, and I now would like to ask Rabbi Axelrod, the Associate Rabbi of the Young Israel of Woodmere, to say a few words. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joel, and just want to echo the thanks to Yeshiva HaKotel under the leadership of Rabbi Reuven Tarragon for spearheading this wonderful day of learning focused on educating our children. Obviously, the crowd this morning is a testimony to the interest that we have. And I just want to share with you a particular insight, a chinuch insight, that I saw this year that I think is both very relevant to today and a very inspiring message for parents, for educators, for rebbeim, for rabbis, for morot, all those involved in an educational endeavor. It's a famous Gemara that many of us are familiar with in Gemara and Shabbos. Rav Huna Haragel Bener, a person who is careful or accustomed or habitual with the candle. Hagin Le'Banim Talmidei Chachamim. A person who's careful with the candle, has habitual, accustomed to lighting the candle. So they will have children who are Torah scholars. And then the Gemara goes on to record other things in the statement, Rav Huna, Hazar b'mezuzah, Hazar, person who's careful with the mezuzah, person who's Kazar b'tzitzis, a person who's careful with tzitzis, other mitzvos that it uses the language of Zahirus. And the common interpretation based on Rashi is that the candle here is talking about the candle of Hanukkah, Kiner mitzvah v'Torah, or the candle of Shabbos, Kiner mitzvah, person lights the candle of mitzvah, near Hanukkah and Shabbos. They will merit to have Banim Talmidei Chachamim because Torah or it brings forth the light. I saw a wonderful, wonderful question asked by the Ian Yaakov. He poses two questions. The first question he asks is, well, why would there be a change in language that by the candle the Talmud uses the language ragil, to be habitual, to be accustomed, when it comes to the other mitzvot of tzitzis and mezuzah, it's hazahir, one who is careful. And the second question is something that as educators we struggle with all the time. We live in a world where everyone is pretty careful with Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles. One would think that our world should be full of Torah scholars. And yet we know as educators we don't necessarily always succeed. So why is it, if the understanding is that it's talking about the candles of mitzvah, we don't see the impact and the success rate that the Gemara seems to attribute? And the answer that he suggests, although he takes a step in suggesting it, is the following. It's not talking about the candles of Shabbos. It's not talking about the candles of Hanukkah. It's talking about, in the times of the Gemara, where there was no electricity. And after a day of going to cheder, or going to school, or learning, each parent struggled with the following question. Am I going to ensure that my son, daughter, child is going to have the right environment to succeed in Torah learning? Am I going to expend the resources to light up my house at night so that this child will continue to develop and be nurtured in the values of Torah learning? And so it's not talking about something that you have to do, and therefore the language of the Gemara is not zahir, mitzvah, like mezuzah, tzitzis, that you have to do. But here it's talking about the extra effort one makes. And that's why it's ragil. And that's why we don't necessarily see Talmidei Chachamim all over the world. Because not everyone is imbued with that sense of mission and purpose in educating their children. And I think that's what this morning is really, and the rest of the day, is all about. It's all about that spirit of Haragil B'Ner, about people being attentive to the issues, seeking answers, discussing. And it's a wonderful opportunity that we have as the Yom Gezel Woodmir to host this beautiful event. Wish much hatzlacha. It's year number 2. Mitzvah Hashem, we look forward to the Chazaki year next year. Also want to extend, looking out to the crowd, all the various Rabbanim and significant educators that are in our larger, broader community that came to Woodmere this morning. Bruchim Abba'im, welcome.
Just one house cleaning item. Rabbi Kelmer's spot will actually be filled by Mrs. Molly Brofsky. That's one change. So on your schedules where it says Rabbi Kelmer, it'll be Mrs. Molly Brofsky. It's my pleasure now to introduce our keynote presentation, Rabbi Dr. Abraham Twersky. Rabbi Twersky, an ordained rabbi, held a pulpit until 1959 when he graduated from Marquette University Medical School and went on to complete his psychiatric residency at the University of Pittsburgh Western Psychiatric Institute. For 20 years, he served as clinical director of the Department of Psychiatry at St. Francis Hospital, Pittsburgh, and was an associate professor of psychiatry at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. He has been awarded with honorary degrees from St. Vincent's College, Duquesne University, and Indiana University of Pennsylvania, based on his scientific contributions and community efforts. Dr. Twersky and the Sisters of St. Francis first opened Gateway Rehab in 1972 as a 28-day alcohol and drug dependence treatment center. A 2008 James W. West MD Quality Improvement Award winner, Gateway Rehab also has been named one of the nation's top 12 rehabilitation programs in a survey conducted by Forbes magazine and called one of the best treatment centers in both Rehab magazine and the 100 Best Treatment Centers Guide to Addiction Care. Pennsylvania's first program for nurses and alcohol and drug problems, called Nurses Off Chemicals, was started by Dr. Twersky, who went on to serve on the Governor's Council on Drug and Alcohol Abuse and as chair of the Pennsylvania Medical Society Committee of the Impaired Physician. Dr. Twersky is the author of more than 60 books, including collaborations with the late Charles Schulz, creator of the Peanuts characters. His latest book is called Gevura, My Life, Our World, and the Adventure of Turning 80. Dr. Twersky has been a guest on many television and radio programs and featured in hundreds of magazines, newspapers, and publications worldwide. He appears in numerous videos, including Animals and Angels, Spirituality and Recovery, Like Yourself, Building Self-Esteem in Recovery, and Liking Yourself, Part 2. He has lectured extensively on chemical dependency and other topics such as stress, self-esteem, and spirituality. In addition, Dr. Twersky has traveled the world as a spokesperson for recovery on behalf of the millions who have achieved it and with goals that inspire, encourage, and challenge those still finding their way. We are deeply grateful to have Rabbi Dr. Twersky with us. Now introduce him to you. Thank you so
much. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Everybody here? Okay. You'll remember that a while back, I don't think whether it was a year ago, 2 years ago, there was a gathering of 40,000 Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, 40,000 Orthodox Jews, with their leadership, Rabbonim, Rebbeim, Rosh Yeshivas, to deal with the problem, the catastrophic problem that has become an epidemic of internet pornography, which is extremely dangerous. It is destroying families left and right. And I can tell you that a week doesn't go by that I don't get several new calls. So this gathering was called to see what you can do about the problem. And the full day of speakers emphasized the gravity of the problem, They all agreed that we must take precautions where we have the internet set up in the house, with effective filters to prevent accidental access. I was disappointed in the gathering because the one question was not addressed as, how did this come about? You see, these people were not concerned about the problem in secular Jews. I mean, the 40,000 people over there were Hasidish and Yeshivish, and they were concerned about the fact that it has invaded the homes of genuine Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, yeshiva bocherim, kollel yungelayt, men and women, rabbonim. There is no immunity. And the one question that was not addressed was, how did this happen? Now, yes, there is a Yetzer Hara that tempts to do these things. But the availability of filth, of schmutz, is not a new phenomenon. There were always purveyors of pornography. What happened recently? And I think the answer is very simple. The Talmud tells us that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was ill before his death. His Talmidim came and they asked for a melacha. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, may your fear of Hashem be as great as your fear of other human beings. And they said, Ad Khan? Is that all you're expecting of us? And he said, yes. A person will refrain from doing something wrong if he thinks that other people are watching him. But in privacy, he will do it because he's not afraid that Hashem is watching him. This was over 2,000 years ago. Right. And what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying is telling us that applies to us today. Yes, there were always places where people could get filthy material if they wanted, but no decent person would be seen in a place like that. Right? So they avoided it. But what's happened recently is the internet, and in the privacy of their home, in the privacy of their office, in the privacy of their handheld screen, right? Without where they can indulge in this pornography without anybody seeing them, right? This has become an epidemic. So it's very clear. Yochanan ben Zakkai was saying, right? If you don't have the Yirat Shamayim, you'll do things which you wouldn't do otherwise. And that's what's happened in the last 12 years. Right. So, I had hoped that at the conference they would have addressed the problem and said, what's happened that we don't have Yirat Shamayim? And I'm afraid that's an issue that we have to face. We have raised a generation of B'nai Torah, wonderful B'nai Torah, right, who are careful about all mitzvahs, Shabbos and Kashrus and Pesach and that, you name it. Right. But the priorities are a little bit distorted. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Mimcha, what is it that Hashem wants from you? Kim le'yira es Hashem. Number one, yira shemayim. Two, l'leches midrochov, proper midos. Three, la'avas Hashem l'kecha, to love Hashem. U'lov da b'chol avavchem and serve it. That's the end of the posik. And in the next posik it says, v'lishmer kol mitzroysov. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't talk about shmiras and mitzvahs until he gives four precursors. Yirat Shamayim, Ahavas Hashem, Midas, and then we'll talk about mitzvahs. And I'm afraid that what's happened is that we reversed our priorities. We've taught our children mitzvahs, wonderful mitzvahs. We've taught them Torah, but somehow or other we've been remiss in Yiras Shamayim. Now the people that come to me with problems of pornography are people who are fine b'nei Torah, they've learned Musa, they're machmer on Pas Yoshon and on Chol of Yisroel and on Chodosh. Some of them go to Mikvah every day. They wear Streimlach. They're very, very observant. But what's happened? They never would walk into a smug place. Not that anybody should chas v'shalom see them. But they're caught in the privacy with pornography, which is destroying the family. Probably the single greatest threat to the Jewish family today. So the question is, how do we teach Yiras Shamayim? I mean, what do you want? We teach them Shabbos, we teach them Kashrus, we teach them Torah, we teach them mitzvahs, there were tzitzis and talis. How do we teach Yiras Shamayim? Learn Sifrei Musa, of course. The only problem is that among the people that I've had who were into pornography, some of them can quote Mesillas Yesholim verbatim bal peh. But that didn't stop him. So Musa is great, but how come it didn't work? So we're looking for ways in which to teach Yiras Shamayim. So take a look at what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Akela Gogo, the Gibbon Amar Hashem, it's mitzvah lahavah liyaroysa, it's a mitzvah to love Hashem and to revere and fear Hashem. Then he says very simply, V'heichu haderech lavos v'yirosei. How do you accomplish ahavas Hashem, yiras Hashem? What's the Rambam going to say? Ki b'shor sheyizboinen ha'odam b'masav u'bruov ha'nifloim ha'gedoilim. If a person will meditate and concentrate on the wonders of creation, and see the infinite wisdom in the works of creation, he'll come to appreciate the greatness of Hashem. You know, we all learn Rambam. And still in yeshivas we pay a great deal of attention to what the Rambam says. How come this got neglected? We get up in the morning and we say the Bluch Asher Yosef. We repeat it several times during the day. Asher Yosef es ha'odom b'chochmo. That Hashem fashioned man, human being with wisdom, chochmo. Where is the chochman creation? What's the chochma of Asher Yosef? And we end the bocha, Reife kol bosar u'mafli l'asas, that it's wondrous. You know, we say the words. What's wondrous? We say words and they don't mean anything to us. And the Rambam says, that's the way to get Yiras Shamayim, is chochma, if you'll understand, the great chochma of Hashem in creation. You go through the brochas, right? And it's just amazing if you have an appreciation of what the works of creation are. Right? Let's take a few simple examples. Right? Each eye has six muscles that move it in any direction. Both eyes coordinate. So the six muscles in the right eye and the six muscles in the left eye must be perfectly coordinated, because if they're off by a fraction of a millimeter, you'll see double. Right. How many times a day do you move your eyes? Right. How many gazillion, trillion, gazillion times during a lifetime do you move your eyes. But in my 85 years, I have never seen double once. Where does that perfect coordination come from? You tell me it comes from evolution, you got to be a fool to believe that. So when you say the book of Pekei Achidim that Hashem has given you sight, you got to understand what we're talking about. Right. You said the Bocha Hamechin Mitzad Regover that Hashem prepares our steps. Do you realize what kind of enormous coordination happens when you take a step? You know, in the back of the brain, underneath the brain, there's an organ, a little, you call it the minor brain, the cerebellum. And the cerebellum is a little organ which has awareness of every single muscle fiber move. Right? I just go like this, the cerebellum knows that my hand is over here now and not over here. And what happens is that the cerebellum quickly adjusts and organizes the rest of the body. Because if not, you would take one step, you'd fall. You'd lose your center of gravity. Right. And what the cerebellum does is just immense. Right. What do we do? But do we know what Amechem Esadr Gover is? We say the Blocha and it doesn't mean anything to us. You know, the body is a very delicate chemistry system. Right? You have to have X amount of sodium, an X amount of potassium, and if either one is too much or too little, you can have serious problems. Who regulates that? Well, at the base of the brain, right behind your eyes, there's a little organ called the pituitary gland. It's the size of a pea. Right? And in that pituitary gland, there's a chemical laboratory with several chemists sitting there. And as the blood flows through that pituitary gland, the chemists analyze the blood and say, do we have enough sodium? No, the sodium is too low. It sends a message to the kidney, reabsorb sodium. Right? And then as the kidney reabsorbs the sodium, right, the level increases, right? The pituitary chemist sees that we've got enough sodium, it shuts off the reabsorption of sodium. Oh no, we've got too much potassium. Right? The pituitary sends a message to the kidney, start getting rid of the potassium. This chemical process goes on 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, including Shabbos and Yom Tov. Right? 365 days a year. If you wanted to make that kind of analysis that little pea organ does, you'd have to build a factory 16 times the size of this room, fully computerized, and it wouldn't do the job. Asher yosar es ha'odom b'chochma, the enormous chochma that went into the creation of the kidney, the creation of the chemical imbalance system. Right? It's just like unbelievable. And we don't know it. And we say in Moedim, right? We say, Alisecho shebchol yomimonu. Yeah. Your miracles that are with us every day, and your wonders, right? Shebchol leis that are constantly happening. Are we aware of it? These things don't happen by themselves. And they didn't happen by evolution. They happen because this Kela, Gubla, Gibba, Manuela, this infinite Hashem, whose wisdom is, as the Rambam says, you get an appreciation of Hashem's wisdom, right? And then when you have appreciation of Hashem's wisdom, you can now have Abbas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. You know, my professor of neuroanatomy was a baseball fan. And he said to us, that time this was in Milwaukee in the 1950s, Henry Aaron was on the Milwaukee Braves team. And he says, do you realize that from the time the pitcher throws the ball until Henry Aaron swings at it, thousands upon thousands of transactions have gone through the brain and the spinal cord. Just incalculable. And we take it for granted, and we don't realize the greatness there. If you take a look at the beauty of nature, the colors of the fish and the colors of the birds and the lakes and the earth, you have and we make the bracha and in Nissan on the trees, we make the bracha that Hashem has created this, lahanes bnei yodom, give pleasure to man. And Hashem has then done all this beauty of nature to give pleasure to man. When is the last time we've talked with our children about the beauty of nature? Gone through with them the gorgeous pictures of the multicolored birds. Thousands of species. The mountain ranges, the rivers, the oceans, the greatness of nature. When's the last time we did that? When's the last time a Rosh Yeshiva has done that? When's the last time a Rosh Yeshiva has begun the shiur with an appreciation of this Rambam? Now, the Rambam makes it very explicit. The Rambam says, hey, chul haderech, how are we going to get you to Shemayim? Meaning, there is no other way. Yes, of course it's important to learn Mesilas Yesholim. It's important to learn the Reishis Chochma. It's important to learn the Chavis HaVoah. These are all classics, and especially those that are even more recent, Mesilas Yesholim and Aleishu. It's important that we learn those. But it's not enough. I said this to a machanach in Israel several years ago. And the last time I was in Israel, he came up to me and he said, you know, after what you said, what I've done is I've gotten some National Geographic videos. Right? And I go over with, before this year, right? I go over with the students the enormous beauty of nature. He says, things are totally different. Okay, so I impressed one person to do it. But why aren't we as parents getting all the material that we can and spend time with our children and show them the greatness of nature? It's very interesting. We have brachos for mitzvahs. Saying Shema Yisrael in the morning and evening is a mitzvah of the Raisa. What kind of bracha should you make on a mitzvah like Kishma? Well, what kind of bracha do you make on Megillah? Lishmaya Megillah, Hamikra Megillah, Lishmaya Kol Shofar. The bracha should be Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Hashem Kishonu V'Mitzvosu V'Tzivonu Likra Yasa Shema. That's what we're doing. We don't make the bracha. I mean, Shema Yisrael is about Yerushalayim and Ahavas Hashem. Right? Where's the bracha for it? Think what we said this morning. We talked about creation. That's the preparation for Kishma. The bracha for Kishma is for Yerushalayim is the appreciation, as the Rambam says, the appreciation of nature. In Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Perek Kuftalet Bochinavsi is just a glorious tribute of nature. Merabah Masech Hashem, Yichvod Hashem L'Yoyim. Because David HaMelech was so overcome with the beauty of nature. And then he has Matzeach Mishmah L'David, Hashemayim Misabrim Kivoyt Keil. Now, I can't talk about this with any kind of knowledge because I'm not familiar in astronomy. Right. But if you begin to think astronomy, how many stars are up there? Billions! Right? And what did we say this morning? L'chulam shemai sikro. Hashem knows each star and has given each one a name. And every day there's Ma'aseh Bereishis, and Hashem rearranges the stars in the heavens, in space. Right. Shema, su morim aneichem, the Novi says, lift your eyes to heaven. Right. That's what Shema is about. The appreciation of the greatness of Hashem and the works of nature. So, David HaMelech says, Hashemayim misabim v'koit keil. The heavens tell you the glory of Hashem. And for seven psukim, he goes on and talks about the wonders of creation. And abruptly, without any transition, Toivos Hashem Tamima. What's the connection? How do you get from one to the other? And when he's saying that, he's saying what the Rambam says, you don't appreciate Torah unless you appreciate nature, unless you appreciate the Chochmah and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creation. And our friends, we've neglected it. So unfortunately, I have Jungelites and Bocharim who are serious Torah students and diligent in observation of Torah, and they're caught in this sea of Toleva, the sea of abomination and filth, and it destroys them. If I had the time, I would bring the letters that they've written about what they've done to try and escape from this morass, and it hasn't worked. Yes, if they learned Musa the way that Salat learned Musa, it would have worked. But you see, I had a very strange phenomenon. These same Bocharim and Yungalait, who know Musa and who know Torah, right, and have fallen into the trap, and when you hear their history, of they fought against it and tried to control themselves, and it didn't work. And they say, I've fasted, I've made the Dogam, I've gone to Givul Tzadikim, I've gone to Mikvah, I've said Tillim, I've done everything, and I keep on going back to it. And nothing works for them. And so we send them to Guard Your Eyes, to program on a website that's designed to help people with this problem. And we have them follow the 12 steps of addiction, because pornography is an addiction that they're powerless over. And willpower doesn't help them. And everywhere they try, they've always fallen back. And we teach them the 12 steps, right? And sometimes they have meetings about the 12 steps. And they are now clean 2 years, 3 years, 11 years, 12 years. What happened? You know, the 12 steps of addiction of Alcoholics Anonymous is Musa word for word. And the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson, if he were alive today, I would sue him for plagiarism. Because he plagiarized the Sifrei Musa. Why is it that the Sifrei Musa didn't stop these people, whether it's pornography or any other addiction, and this program does? And I think I have the answer. That if a person is sincere in recovery, and he follows the program, when he leaves a meeting, right, he leaves with the feeling, this is my life. If I deviate from this program, I die. And that's why it works. Strangely enough, we say, Ki heim chayenu. We say that Torah is our life. Right? We say it. Do we believe it? The person knows that he's going to deviate from the 12-step program, he's going to die. Right? I've been at many Musa shiurim, and they're wonderful shiurim, but nobody walks around with a feeling, if I say one word of Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to die. Doesn't happen. We've got to make the Musa real. And one of the ways to do it is what the Rambam says. The Rambam doesn't give you no option. What's the way? And he's so explicit. Appreciate the works of creation. I think that's something that we all have to do. So get the videos, go over them with your children, show them the beauty of creation, learn more about the chemistry of the human being, be able to demonstrate them what it means. Let them understand that in that every step we take is a miracle. That every step we take, there's thousands of transactions and communication that goes on with our system that we can take the next step. And so David HaMelech, so Moshe Rabbeinu has given his priority. You start off with Yer Shamayim. And then the next thing is the Leches B'drochav to have Midas. Mitzvahs are important. Shabbos, Kashrus, Matzah, Pesach, everything. Sukkot. So, how much emphasis do we have to put on Midas? You know, can you think of a person saying, Rabbi so-and-so is a wonderful person. He's a tzaddik, he's a tremendous one. But I do have to say he's got a bad temper, can't control his temper. Right? Does that make any sense? That's like saying he's a big lamna, a big tzaddik, and he likes to eat ham twice a week. Right? If he eats ham, he's a chefnyak. So listen to what Reb Chaim Vital says. Reb Chaim Vital was the successor to the Arizal. And he says, how come the Midas are not in the Torah? The Torah doesn't say anywhere, don't be angry. Don't be, you can't avoid being angry. Don't go into rage. All of the beautiful Midas are not explicit in the Torah. And Mechaim Vital says, Midas are not part of 613 mitzvahs. Midas are not part of 613 mitzvahs. They are the principal preparation for the Talyag Mitzvahs. So, and therefore he comes to the conclusion. First he says, I want you to know, he says, that when the Torah, when the Mullah says that a person who goes into rage is Oyved Avoy Dezorah, that's not a figure of speech. He's Oyved Avoy Dezorah Mamash. And based on this, I would say that anybody who has no control over his temper, you're not allowed to drink the wine that he touches. He's an Oyved Avoy Dezorah. And we take it seriously. But now he says, the Nimtza, the conclusion, Ki Yoysa Tzolech Liyas Memidas Haroes, that you have to be more cautious about improper midas, improper character traits. You have to be more cautious than them. Yoysa Ben Kiyam HaMitzvah Sassel Eloysas. You have to give them a greater caution, right? Than the mitzvah sesev leisese. Tefillin is a mitzvah sesev, right? Tzedakah is a mitzvah sesev, right? Shabbos is a mitzvah leisese. Kashrus is a mitzvah leisese. And what he says is, we give all this caution with mitzvahs, right? He says, for mitzvahs you have to give more caution than even with the mitzvahs. Somehow or other we miss the boat. And we raised a generation of Baruch Hashem, five b'nei Torah, who may be remiss in Midas and remiss in Yiras Shamayim. And this morning we said before Davenin that Kol Da'ayah Shel Bichlal, if something was a member of a group and it deviated, right, that's a Kula Yotza. That tells you something about the whole group. So it's not only those people who have been caught with pornography that are lacking Yiras Shamayim. I'm afraid that our whole generation is derelict in Yiras Shamayim. They observe mitzvahs, right? They're family Torah. And I think we've got to look at how to reinstall Yiras Shamayim, how to reinstate Midas. Now, Rabban Zichron Ovech, Rabban Kotler said that the Torah was not given to animals. The Torah was given to mention. Right? And before you can get Torah, you have to be a mensch. Right? And this wonderful Sefer, the Slonimah, in the Sibur Zaylam, goes one step further. Ki ha-toyre ha-kdoshe u-tayag mitzvos nidno li-yehudi ba-shehu kvar yehudi. The Torah is given to a Yehudi who is a Jew, and as a Jew by essence, before mitzvahs. Now what does that mean? A Jew is one that eats kosher, keeps Shabbos, Shabbos mitzvahs. He says, no. Look at what happened before Matan Torah. Hashem says, look what I did. I brought you out of Mitzrayim. I raised you up. Right? And then, so what do I want from you? Tishimu v'kali, accept my authority. He didn't say, no mitzvahs yet. Hushvatam as b'yisri, make a pledge that you will keep my covenant. And remember that you're children of Hashem. And behave like it's be suitable for children of Hashem. And he calls that Yehudi be'etzem, a person with an essence of Yehudi. On the other hand, he says, people who observe mitzvahs and are missing this, yes, he says, Eina ele Yehudi ba'an hoge. They conduct themselves like Jews, but they're not really Yehudi. You know, a while back there was this political thing about me or Yehudi, right? But listen to what he says. That Yehudi is a person who has the proper midas before mitzvahs. He had his priorities right. Moshe Rabbeinu had his priorities right. David HaMelech had his priorities right. Somehow or other, we missed the boat. But it's essential that we straighten it out, because our lives are at stake. Our children's lives are at stake. Our families are at stake. But nobody says, it can't happen to me. It has happened in families where you would never suspect it can happen. Right? So, what we've got to do is find ways of Yirat Shamayim, and I think the message of the Rambam is the greatest, and it's available to us all. Right? To Rambam says, Tzoma nafshi l'Elokim l'Keil Chai. I develop such an appreciation of Hashem that I thirst to have a relationship with Hashem. One thing is, it says, "Et shabsoi sa tishmaru u'mikdoshi tiro." Right? Observe Shabbos and have the yira, the reverence of the Beis HaMikdash, which is now the reverence of the shul. Do we have the reverence of the shul? How many times do we talk in shul during davening? That's the worst insult that you can give to Hashem. You come in to talk to him, you turn away and you talk to somebody else. No wonder that the Shulchan Aruch says, Godol avoinoy menasoy. This is a sin that cannot be forgiven. Doesn't say that about eating chazer. Eating chazer is a terrible aveda, but it can be forgiven. Proper tshuva. Talking in shul cannot be forgiven. Maybe if we had the proper yiras hakovod, and when we come into shul we feel we're coming into the house of Hashem and behave accordingly, then maybe our children would not text on Shabbos. And if they text on Shabbos, it's because we've not conveyed with them the proper yiras hakovod, the proper yiras shemayim, and the proper yiras hamikdash. So, ladies and gentlemen, our work is cut out for us. Right? The future of Yiddishkeit is at stake. We can't do anything about the world Yiddishkeit, but we can do something about our own families. Right? I strongly suggest listen to what the Rambam says. Thank you for listening.